Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are overjoyed that you have taken your time all this Sunday afternoon to be able to listen to the questions and the answers from God's Word. And we are here. This is Sunday, June 30th. It is just past 1:30 p.m. And this is Let the Bible Speak. It is a live dial-in question and answer radio program. That is the format of this radio broadcast, question and answer. You call in your questions or send in your questions via text or through the internet or through phone, and we give you book, chapter, verse of God's Word for the answers. Please, it is our earnest prayer and our earnest desire that you are only hearing God's voice and that you are only hearing God's answers to this question. It's not the people who you hear on the radio program. It is the book, chapter, and verse of God's Word that we are trying to give you. It is our true, earnest desire that you are only hearing God's Word and not us, not ours. We try to stay out of God's way, so you don't want to hear us. It's not called Let Us Speak. It is Let the Bible Speak, and that's what we're trying to do. So please go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. You can have your question written down and sent in to us and we will answer it. Or you can have your question asked on the air. If you do want to ask your question on the air, there's only two things that we ask. One, that you would please turn your radio down so that there's not a confusing echo or anything that would cause some confusion. Or in the second thing we ask for you to do is to just be polite and give your name so that we can address you by your name. So those are only two things we ask if you do want to ask your question live over the air. However, you don't have to. Like I said, you can have your question just written down and send in to us, or you can text in your question. We have a text line available for those who would rather do that. The text line for your questions is 725-9283. 725-9283 is a text line number. And all area codes we use on this show are 843. So go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564. 308-9564 is to reach us here at the station.
There's another way that you can communicate with us and also hear the radio program through the internet, not only here locally, but throughout the world. So if you have people that you would like for them to take advantage of this time of Bible study over God's Word, over the radio, they can join us via the internet. They can simply go to our website at www.BibleAlone.com. If you haven't visited that site lately, we would encourage you to go take a look. And there is a live stream button on the very first page. And so you can hit that button and listen to the radio broadcast through the internet. But also, you can also text us if you would rather, in communicating your question rather than calling, you can actually go to that page, go to the bottom, and there's a block down there to where that you can type your text question in, and it will be sent to us here on the broadcast today. So go ahead and call right now or go to the internet site, www.BibleAlone.com. And by the way, if you haven't visited that site yet, you might want to look and see what Bible study resources are there. There's a number of things that are available that will help you in your Bible study. Some of the most frequent questions that we have on the radio broadcast, there have been articles prepared with the various scriptures that were involved with it, and you might want to take those and print them out, and you'll have that material there in your possession. And so, again, all of this is free. We are happy to be able to share God's Word with you. So go ahead and call in your question right now. Today is the last Sunday of the month, so there's no reason why that people might be held up for long services, hopefully, and we're able to go to the Bible for the questions that you have. The voice line is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. And we will be glad to take your question. It can be written down and brought into us, or you can go live. The only thing that we ask, if you want to go live on the air, we need to know your name, and we ask you to be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be an annoying echo that will cause confusion. We do not want any kind of confusion whatsoever. So please be ready to turn your radio down if you want to go live on the air. And I know some of you do not call simply because you're afraid that you might be put on the radio. No, you have to request that, and we will be glad to for you to go live, but you can have your question written down from the operator here at the radio station that will write it down and bring it into us, and then we will go to the Bible for the answer. So please don't miss out on this opportunity to get your question answered today. Now, by the way, every 15 minutes, we will take a break to let you know about our Bible correspondence course that we are more than happy to send to you in the mail, absolutely free. So please make certain that you get ready to call this number. The operator is standing by, and that number is 553-5157. And she will take your information and get the correspondence mailed to you tomorrow, the Bible correspondence course in the mail to you tomorrow. Again, if you want to go ahead and call now before the line fills up, that will be 553-5157 for the Bible correspondence course. But now, if you want to call in your question right now, the number is available. Both lines are available, 308-9564, and you can call in your question, and we will let the Bible speak.
Indeed, the lines are open. We are ready for your questions, 308-9564. Go ahead, call them in. Maybe there was something that happened in your worship services today, or maybe something happened this week in your lives that you are curious about what God has to say about that. What is God's view on this situation? When we have the truth of God's word to lead us and guide us in that. And we make mention a lot of letting the Bible speak and trying to stick to that and just giving you God's word, because we truly want you to be able to recognize that we are giving you God's word on these subjects and matters of life. Consider in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we have an attitude that we all need to recognize that there's a truth that we can't escape from. There is a day that we can't escape from. And so we must live our lives accordingly. We must live our lives in recognition that there is a day coming that I can't escape from. And I'm going to be held responsible for how I carry myself while I'm here on this earth. And so if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 9, this context is in here in this chapter is showing how we were apart from God and how we can be reconciled to God and brought back to God through his son, Christ Jesus. In chapter 5, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians, it says, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether absent, present, or absent, to be well-pleasing to him." Verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are all well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences." There's going to be a day coming, judgment day coming, where I'm going to be held responsible for everything that I have done in my body, whether good or bad. My physical body, this processed dust that we see, is going to go back to dust one day. So this physical body is not going to last. But our spiritual person, our spiritual body, our self, what's inside these physical bodies, my spirit is going to last forever. It's going to live forever somewhere. And so while I'm here on this earth, trapped in this processed dust that we call a body, while I'm here, I'm supposed to be trying to get ready for the day when I will separate or die. The word die just means to separate. When I will separate, my spirit is going to separate from this physical realm, and I will be held responsible for what my spiritual self did while I was trapped in this flesh, while living in this flesh, in this earthly realm. And Christ has always been here to help us to recognize that we can overcome our physical limitations, our physical struggles, our physical problems and distresses and trials and tribulations. Christ is always there to help us through those things. Problem is, we're usually the ones pushing him away. We're usually the ones saying we don't want the help or don't need the help. It's Christ never leaves us. God never leaves us. If it wasn't for the sufferings that Christ endured on Golgotha, and what he took the pain and agony, not just on the cross on Golgotha, but also leading up to there, being beaten and abused and spit on and mocked and laughed at, and they treated him so viciously. Why did he have to go through all that? Well, he went through all that because of the sins that we are guilty of, that we committed. And so because of those sins, God saw fit that he might be our sacrifice, that he took our place, that we don't have to die for our own sins, that he died for our sins. But not only that, we must live accordingly to how he wants us to live. We must show our appreciation for what God has done for us. And because of the way he set us free, or he set us free from sin and he brought us close to him, we have a responsibility of living for him. He bought us with his blood. Acts 20 and verse 28 said he purchased the church with his own blood. Christ bought us with his blood. And so since he bought us with his blood, we owe him the life, the time that we have here on this earth. We owe it to him to live how he wants us to live and to do what he expects us to do. And so we need to make sure of that. And that's why we're here to help you. That's why this program is called Let the Bible Speak. We want to encourage you to do these things.
We are about to take a break. We want you to know that while we are at break, you can continue to call in your question. We have our first question today based upon Proverbs 27:14, something about someone blessing or greeting a neighbor with a loud voice in the morning that will be considered a curse to him. So we're going to be talking about that when we come back. Please know the information that we're about to tell you is absolutely free. The correspondence course we're about to tell you about, we are happy to send it to you. Please do not send us your money. Do not send us your tithes. Do not send us an offering. Matter of fact, let us send you treasure that will be an eternal treasure to you to learn what God wants for you and for me. So take advantage of this. Call the operator standing by at 553-5157. If you call right now, you'll be first. So go ahead and call 553-5157. If you've already gotten the course, continue to call in your questions right now. The lines are available, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
And we just want to reiterate the fact that everything we offer you is completely free, F-R-E-E. There is no financial obligations that we expect from you. We are appreciative that the Lord has been graceful to us and has allowed us the opportunities to give you all the materials that you need, and the Bible study lessons and the mailing and just everything financially that it takes to do the things we do, the radio program and everything else. We're so grateful that the Lord has allowed us these opportunities to where we're not trying to get any money out of you to do anything. We are so grateful that we have the opportunity to share God's word with you. When you find something, when you hear something good, when you have some good news, you want to share it. You know, when people get engaged, they run around telling everybody, oh, I'm going to get married. You know, when someone gets a new job, they usually say, oh, hey, I got a new job. So when we know the truth of God's word, and we have the gospel of Jesus Christ at our fingertips, yeah, we want to share it. We want to get it out there. So we're just grateful for that. So please go ahead, sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. You will find information in the Correspondence Courses that's been right there in God's Word the whole time that you may not have heard of your whole life growing up. 553-5157. Go ahead, call in, and get the correspondence course started coming to you. But don't just get it to you. Fill it out, send it back, and keep the process going. Keep the correspondence going. You will be blessed. So please, 553-5157 is the number to sign up for the Bible correspondence course. But to reach us here at the station, 308-9564 is the number to send in your questions. You can call in your question or you can ask on live on the air, whichever you prefer. 308-9564, as well as the text line is available. You can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
There is the live attendant is no longer live, and so make certain that when you call, understand it will be the computer that is answering the phone, and so you can leave your name and information when you call that number. So for right now, there's not a live attendant standing by, but the computer is able to get your information. So go ahead and call that number, 553-5157, and leave us your name and address, and we will be glad to get that in tomorrow's mail to you. Now, if you have a question here at the station, go ahead and call here. That number is 843-308-9564. 308-9564. Our first question dealing with from today is dealing with Proverbs 27 and verse 14. They said, please explain this verse. And let's just read it out of the Bible. It says, he who blesses a friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Now, I don't know who the caller is. The last three digits of their phone number is 597. But I want you to know that when I, when my children discovered this verse, it became a sore of contention to me. Because, you see, I would raise my kids up, wake them up in the morning, singing some weird song just about every morning. And, of course, the slower they got up, the louder I got. Even to the point to where sometimes the neighbors would comment, hey, we enjoyed your song this morning. And so when my kids found this verse, oh, did they ever throw it at me and told me, see, Dad, you shouldn't be doing that anymore. You get the point. Yes, it literally means what it says. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it'll be counted as a curse to him. Now, my friend, I do want you to know the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Matter of fact, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, they're all called wisdom literature because they are chocked full of wise wisdom of the ages. And we would do well to listen to that wisdom. Even though that it is not the law necessarily that we're going to be judged by on the judgment day, it is nevertheless still wisdom. It is the word of God. It is wisdom. And so we would be well to learn some of that wisdom that we not be able to be counted as, let's see, how does this put it, a curse to him? Yeah. And we do not want to be treated that way. And certainly we don't want to treat others that way as well. So I hope that's helpful to you. It means really just exactly what it says. Greeting somebody with a loud voice early in the morning, that's not going to make any friends. Okay, so hopefully that's helpful to you. We are glad that you have joined us, and thank you so much for your question. We appreciate it very much, and we thank you for your participation in today's broadcast. I was looking over some of your previous questions. And they're really good because you're wanting to go to the Bible for the answer, and you're wanting to know what passages mean and what they're saying and what God says. And I really appreciate your spirit and wanting to know what thus says the Lord. And if we're right and we're listening to Him, then all will be as it should be. And if we listen to the wisdom of the ages in the wisdom literature, then certainly that will better equip us to be able to deal with some of life's challenges that many people following the world's wisdom end up just getting in all kind of trouble and predicaments. And so you're wise to be able to go there. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. There's The lines are available. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, as the first question was, you can text us with your cell phone at 843-725-9283. If you don't have a cell phone and yet you have the internet, you can also text us from our website, which is at BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone, all connected as one word, .com. And at the bottom of the page, you can type in your question to us, text, and it will come directly here to the studio. We sure do appreciate you joining us today, and we hope and pray that this program will be a blessing to you, not because of who we are, because we are nothing, but because of who God is. And if we listen to just His Word and His Word alone, then that's the way it should be. And if we come up with something different than what God's Word says, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul himself said, through inspiration, he says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what has been preached to you, let him be accursed, anathema. And so if we come up with something that is not in God's Word, then we will be guilty and be punishable by this anathema, which is a super curse. It is the worst of curses. And I know there's a lot of people that use Malachi to tell people they're going to be cursed with a curse if they do not give of their tithes and offering. Well, that's not New Testament, my friend, and you should not fear that curse, because that law was nailed to the cross. And so we've got to listen to Christ. He's the one that we will be face to face with on Judgment Day. And he tells us that we're supposed to give bountifully. We don't have to give. We should want to give to the point to where we give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, 7, 8, right in there. And that's how we should be. That's what kind of heart that we should have concerning this. So go ahead. As far as a curse, there is a curse in the New Testament. If we come up with anything different than what God says in His Word, oh, yeah, that curse is going to be given to us. So that's why we urge you to let the Bible speak. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now. We might be able to squeeze it in before the top of the hour. Nevertheless, go ahead and call right now at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Yes, we encourage you to keep your questions coming in. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564. You know, as Ricky was speaking, he made mention of the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. That's another one of the subjects that I believe is on our website, www.BibleAlone.com. There's a few topics, time and time again, that come through, and they're fairly popular as far as teachings and what people either know or don't know. And so we have some of those harder subjects and some of those more popular subjects on our website, www.BibleAlone.com, where it gives you clear understanding of what God really has to say. And one of the differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the fact that the Old Testament was replaced by the New Testament, there are multiple passages that show that. And there's Hebrews chapters 7 through 10. There's Galatians chapters 3 through 5. There's Colossians chapter 2. There's entire chapters devoted to showing the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament, and just the fact that we are no longer bound by the laws of the Old Testament. Let me repeat that. We are no longer bound by the laws of the Old Testament. We live in Christ's New Testament, Christ's New Covenant. That's what we live under. That's what we will be judged by. John 12:48. Christ said in John 12:48, the words which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. That is what we will be judged by. So we need to know Christ's New Testament law replaces the Old Testament law, and we must follow by the things which Christ says. And so we must recognize that.
We want everybody to know, when you call the operator standing by in a few minutes, that it will be the computer answering. And so we apologize for that at the moment. But we still can get your information, and just leave your name and address as they ask you, and we'll get it in the mail to you tomorrow. So it is time for us to take that break. But please know, while we are at break, you may continue to call in your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Or if you have a cell phone, you can just text them to us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. Now, we're glad that you are with us, and we hope and pray that the things that we are covering today will be of benefit to you. We want you to know that hopefully you have a Bible standing by where you can look these things up in God's Word. And please know you can continue to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course throughout this program. The operator standing by will be a computer, but nevertheless, we can get that information and we'll send it to you. Get your information, we'll send the course to you in tomorrow's mail. So don't miss out on that. 553-5157 throughout this broadcast. You can go directly to leaving your message, and we'll be glad to send that course to you free of charge in the mail. We have a couple of questions so far. You can go ahead and continue your calls right now at 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or you can also text us via cell phone at 725-9283. Sometimes you hear us get mixed up on these numbers. It's because we get mixed up, too. We got so many numbers floating around. So the text line is, if you have a cell phone, 725-9283. The voice line is 308-9564, and your question can be written down and brought in to us. Either way, don't leave this hour without having your question answered on today's broadcast. Chuck, you have a question there?
Yeah, I have a question from Wayne, I believe is the name, about once saved, always saved. Is that accurate? Is that true? Well, Wayne, there's a couple of passages that we can look at in the New Testament that will show us that that's probably not the case in God's eyes about our salvation. It is possible to lose our salvation. We turn over to Galatians chapter 5. And we see here Galatians, and as I just mentioned, I was talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament, the differences about being judged by the New Testament law. That was one of the chapters that we mentioned. Galatians, actually chapters 3 through 5, all of them talk about the differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And specifically here in Galatians chapter 5, it says something very interesting in verse 4. We make mention of this passage from time to time, and so those of you who consistently listen to the program are probably familiar with it. However, I'll start in verse 1, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty for which Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I, indeed, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." See, that's once again someone trying to stick to the old law. They want you to become circumcised as a covenant to show that you're keeping the old law. So he says, if you do that, Christ will profit you nothing. And he says, "And again, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." Verse 4 is key. He says, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace." To fall from grace would be being removed from the book of life, or being taken away from the salvation that God has offered us through his son and through obeying his word and being baptized into Christ and continuing to be faithful unto death. But if that is not as straightforward as you would see, as James 5:19, it talks about someone wanders away from the truth, as another passage, James 5:19. And then there's revelations. There's a church, the letters to the churches, seven churches of Asia, where multiple times Christ threatens the church that if they don't repent from the things that they're doing wrong, he will remove their candlestick, meaning that he would take their names out of the book of life to where they would not be saved anymore. So this idea about once saved, always saved, although some people would try to have you to believe that, That's just not true. The truth is we will be fighting with sin for the rest of our lives. And sin separates us from God. And so the only way to stay saved is to repent from those sins and to have a godly sorrow that produces repentance, and to make sure that we are being consistent with following His words and obeying His words. And so we must do this to continue to be saved. If you look at just how the New Testament is written, it shows you a small lesson can be found in this. The fact that the first four letters of the New Testament are the letters, the first four books are the Gospels, to where this is the story of Christ and His life. Then the fifth book is Acts, which is the history book of the church, if you will, the Acts of the Apostles and how the early church was first established, how Christ's church was first established and the things that it was going through. So the first five books of the New Testament show you how to be saved and show you what you need to do to be saved. That's what the first five books do. Now, from Romans to Revelations, the rest of the books of the New Testament, they teach you how to stay saved. So the first five books of the New Testament teach you what you need to do to be saved, and the rest of the New Testament teaches you what you do need to do to stay saved. So the fact that there's more books that tell you how to stay saved than there are how to get saved, well, that should show you right there that, yeah, you can definitely fall from grace. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, Wayne, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. To call us here at the station, 308-9564. The lines are open. The questions are starting to come in. We appreciate that. Please continue to let them keep them coming in. The text line is 725-9283. That's also available, 725-9283.
We have Ben calling in this question. He wants to know, first of all, how do you deal with some things that you feel that cause you to feel bad? And if it's dealing with your conscience, then certainly we've got to deal with that. James 4 and verse 17 says, "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Showing that we cannot go against our conscience. We've got to, when we know our conscience is built by truth, we have got to never go against that. Now, there's an example of Paul. He said that I've lived in all good conscience unto this day, Acts 23 and verse 1. So his conscience was built by wrong information. And when Jesus appeared to him and let him know that he was, in fact, God, the Son of God, he turned his life around. He would not eat or drink until he knew what he needed to do. He was led by the hand by those that were with him into the city of Damascus. And then 3 days later, Ananias was instructed to go and talk to Paul and told him what he needed to do to be saved and to fix the problem that he had caused, because he, even though he thought he was serving the Lord and he did so with a clean conscience, his conscience or his thoughts, his heart was built by wrong information. And thus Ananias told him, "Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord," of which he did immediately. And it was only then that he ate and drank and he continued to serve the Lord, even though he thought he was serving the Lord to begin with. But he continued to serve the Lord in truth then. You know, that same thing is appealed to in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. It gives an illustration about how that Noah and his family were saved as they entered the ark through water. The same water that destroyed the world lifted them up to the preservation of their lives and the lives of the family. Well, it says in verse 21, "And the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh," but listen carefully, "it's an answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Christ Jesus." And so there, that clean conscience was caused or created or brought about by obedience to God, both in Paul's case and everyone that Peter was referring to there in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, all of God's saints. Now, of course, that's not the only thing someone has to do. We have got to serve the Lord with all our heart, believe in Him. If we do not believe, then we will be condemned, Mark 16 and verse 16. And we also have to have a godly sorrow that leads us to repentance. For godly sorrow leads to repentance without regret, but sorrow of the world worketh death, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Jesus put it this way, "Repent or you shall all likewise perish." And those things must be before one obeys in being baptized, and it is there, according to what Ananias told Paul, and according to what we see practiced in the New Testament, where our sins are washed away. That's Acts 22 and verse 16. So, Ben, hopefully that is helpful to you. And his second question is, what does it mean in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, to lean not on your own understanding? Well, truth is, another proverb answers that, Proverbs 14, 12. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Ben, it just is. It's not just because we think we're right. Paul thought he was right. He thought his understanding was he was serving God by persecuting all those Christians. But in fact, he was serving the devil. And so the only way we can know if we're serving God or serving the evil one is to look and make certain that we're walking in his direction, walking by his light and his instruction, to make certain that we are doing just like the Lord instructs us to. Even if it goes against our conscience, even if it goes against the world, even if it goes against our religious faith that we may have been part of for decades, that does not make it right. The only thing that makes it right is if when we are walking with the Lord in His Word and thus letting the Bible speak. Thank you, Ben, so very much. We hope and pray that that's been beneficial to you. Those verses, again, for those of y'all making notes, James 4:17, 1 Peter 3:21, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, Luke 13:3, and I think I referred to Acts 23 and verse 1 as well. You might want to also look at Hebrews 10 and verse 22, where it talks about having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience with pure water. And so there we see our hearts being purified. And so we hope and pray that has been beneficial to you. So it's a matter of just serving the Lord, walking the way He says, not the way man says. We want you to know that as we take our next break, there is an answering machine that is answering the phones when you call 553 for the Bible Correspondence Course. We're glad to send this to you, so don't hesitate, even though it is an answering machine answering, don't hesitate to go ahead and enroll in the course, and we'll be glad to send that to you in tomorrow's mail. That number is 553-5157. Now, it's about time for us to take that break, so we'll go ahead and do that at this time. Go ahead and continue in your phone calls, whether through texting or through the voice line. The voice line is 308-9564. All those lines are busy at the moment, so just let your phone ring, and you can get through the text line immediately if you'd rather, 725-9283. And so let's go ahead to our break at this time.
We are back live, and we appreciate you hanging there with us. We are so appreciative because we just want to be encouraged from you and sending in your questions, and we really are edified, and we thank you for that. So we are back live from break, and we just want to remind you that the operator standing by today is a computer. However, don't let that persuade you to not call in. Just call in and leave your information like regular, and we will be able to have your information. And we apologize for that, but yes, the operator standing by today is just a computer, so you can still leave your information to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, and we appreciate that. And the lines are available here at the station. Just a few minutes ago, we missed a couple of calls, so please go ahead and call back. A lot of times, for some reason, everyone calls all at one time, and so all three lines would be lit up at once, and then we try to talk to someone and get their question, and then we will miss the other two. So if you call, just let it keep ringing, and we will pick up as soon as we get the question of the other person off the line. Along with that, if you're calling and you're asking your question, please just ask your question. Try to keep it as short and concise as possible. It's really not a conversation line. We really hate missing calls, and we try not to miss calls. And the more conversation that there is, the less likely it is for us to be able to get your question. So please keep that in mind. But still, 308-9564, call in your questions. We will do our best to get your answers from the Bible and let the Bible speak. 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Cynthia calling in a few questions here. Cynthia's question, I'm gonna take the last one first, and she wants to know, the Apostle Peter, did he preach the first sermon? Well, in Acts chapter 2, there is the first sermon that was preached to the beginning of the church from the day of Pentecost. Yes, he spoke the first sermon words to be able to open up the kingdom of God to the world. And so Jesus promised that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I give unto the keys of the kingdom. So Jesus gave that privilege to Peter by inspiration that occurred there in Acts chapter 2. We see that first sermon. But he also opened the kingdom of God to the Gentiles as well in Acts chapter 10. So, yes, Peter was the one to begin both for Jews and the Greeks, Jews and Gentiles, Acts 2 and Acts chapter 10. And so, good question. Her second question is, this was the third question, was the woman of Samaria considered as a preacher? Well, I would say when you use the word preacher as an adjective, that is someone speaking the truth, then yes, she was speaking the truth. She was asking questions, and she was spreading the word. She would be called, you could describe her as an evangelist, spreading good news. But was she a preacher in today's definition, where that means one that is given authority that Christ never gave, to be able to speak things that Christ never told him to speak, and to have power that Christ, again, never gave? Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven on earth. And so, Cynthia, I would dare say that according to what people call preachers today, biblically speaking, there should not be any of those, because Jesus is really the only one that has authority and power to be able to bind and loose as far as what's right and wrong. Yes, I know he promised that to the apostles, but we do not have apostles today with that power to where that the Holy Spirit is operating directly through them. And so, was she spreading good news? Yes. Should we spread good news? Yes. Was she preaching the Word of God or telling the Word of God to people? Yes. Should we be telling the Word of God to people? Yes. And so, every one of God's children are to be an evangelist with a little E, a preacher with a little P, not any kind of title or position or elevation whatsoever. And Cynthia's third question, how did the apostles fit into the ministry of the early church? Well, as we've already noted that Peter was promised given the keys of the kingdom, whatever he binds on earth shall be bound in heaven. Well, when you look at Acts 18, you see that promise to all the apostles, that they all were to be binding on earth what was bound in heaven. And so that was given to all of them. And when you look at Acts chapter 2, we see there that the apostles, the 12, were the ones that were accused of being drunk. Peter, standing up with 11, gave defense and says, these are not drunk, as you suppose, being that's just the ninth hour of the day, or 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning, third hour of the day, which is 9 o'clock in the morning. And it was the apostles that were promised and instructed to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise, the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll follow that in Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 2. You see the pronoun apostles there, and you just follow it on down. You'll see that promise was to them. You'll also find, as you read through the first six chapters of Acts, it was only the apostles teaching and only the apostles that were doing miracles. So, yes, that is how that fit into the beginning of the church. And literally, when you get to chapter 8 and verse 18, it was through laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given. And so they had that power to be able to impart spiritual gifts that people do not have today. So, Cynthia, I hope that's been helpful to you. That would be chapters 1 through 8, and you will see all that unfold. Thank you so much for your question, Cynthia. We sure do appreciate that. the woman at the well, that's in John chapter 4, basically the whole chapter of John 4. And Peter's first sermon is in Acts chapter 2. So thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. We hope you will have been blessed from this. And again, we've got to just let the Bible speak. It speaks for itself. And so read those chapters when you get a chance. Again, the numbers, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's the voice line. They're all available right now. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Or if you have a text question or a question you'd like to text us, you can do that at 725-9283. Chuck?
We have a text question asking that we would explain Proverbs 27, verse 19. So we will go to that and read that. Proverbs 27 and verse 19 says, as in water face reveals face, so a man's heart reveals the man. So this example is made here that when you can look in water and see your reflection. So when someone looks in the heart, when God looks in the heart, that reflects who we are as well. Jesus made mention of this multiple times, and if we turn over to Luke chapter 6 in verse 45, it's a direct correlation. So in Luke 6:45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So the things that we do and say, it comes from who we are. What we do reflects who we are, and that reflects, it shows what our hearts are. That shows the things that are in our heart. Jesus also made mention of this in Matthew chapter 15, where he was condemning some of the religious leaders at the time who were coming to him and trying to find something to accuse him with. This was after the context where he calls them hypocrites in verse 7. And then he comes down and he tells them that they draw near with their mouth, but they honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And in vain they worship him, teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men. So we go down a little bit further in that passage, and we see in verse 16, Jesus says to them, the context changes because this is where Peter, and then he's addressing this to Peter, so I apologize. In verse 16, he's addressing Peter, says, are you also still without understanding? He's explaining to them the parable. In verse 17, it says, do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes in the stomach and is eliminated? But those with which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands is not to defile a man. So the things that come from our heart, that shows who we are. The what we say, what we do is all a reflection of our heart. And that is the true person of who we are. What's at our core? Is it to do good and obey God, or is it to do evil and obey the devil? Hopefully that's been helpful to you. The number here at the station, 308-9564, 308-9564, to reach us here at the station. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
Now, if you'd like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, you can call 553-5157. The line is available. If it's busy, just hang up and hit redial. You'll be able to get through. Leave us your name and address, and we'll get to the Bible correspondence course in the mail to you. By the way, if you choose to do this, please know that you will be challenged with the Bible correspondence course. You will study things that you may have never seen before. If you are a seeker of truth, if you are a lover of God and His Word, and you want to know what God says, not man says, then you would do well to enroll in this course. Get it and examine it, check it out, make certain that it is certainly from God. And we are glad to be able to hear back from you if there needs to be any kind of corrections whatsoever. And we will make those corrections because God is the authority and not man. So that again, that number is 553-5157, and get your free course in the mail to you. We have a caller texting in this question from the last four digits, 985, and they want to know, why wasn't the, quote, Acts of Paul, unquote, added to the Bible? Well, good question. There's a lot of ancient writings out there. And when you look up this book or these writings in the internet, you'll find out that the book or the writings of the Acts of Paul was considered as pseudographia, which means fake writings or non-approved writings that were included in the New Testament. And that's what you want to know about. Why was it not put in the Bible? Well, it was written, it's dated as around that date of 160 A.D., and thus it was long after the New Testament had been completed. And thus it was not considered part of the New Testament writings or inspired from those in the first century. The author, we do not know anything about actually who wrote that. It was not considered. It's mentioned in early writings, but it was written. Those that referred to it did not consider it inspired of God. It was not accepted that way by any sources whatsoever back then. It was later some would attach to that some added significance, but there was just nothing that was attached to that. They did not accept it. It was not circulated like the rest of the New Testament books. And so what more can we say? There's probably millions of writings back then that we may have access to, but just because they're ancient writings does not make it inspired of God. And so hopefully that has been helpful to you as we look into the Word of God. These books have been preserved for us so that we can know they claim to be inspired of God, and they are filled, let me emphasize that again, they are filled with proofs that they were from God and not from man. One thing that we always do in all of our Bible studies is we examine immediately, how do we know that this is the Word of God? And there is significant proofs of that our faith is built upon. Now, you might say, faith? I thought that was just something that anybody could have. Well, Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So there is substantial evidence to prove that this is the Word of God. And so if you question whether it's the Word of God, then just do an analytical study of the proofs of its inspiration, and you will see that it is literally filled with documented proofs, for example, scientific things that were in the Bible that man had never discovered. So don't miss out on this. Make certain that you know without a doubt that when we read the Word of God, the Bible, it is in fact the Word of God. And when we believe it, it is powerful to make us into what God wants us to be. If we will let Him, He will mold us into a wonderful creation. It's time for us to take our next break. Please know that this is a program that is absolutely free. The correspondence course is free, we're about to tell you about, and we're happy to answer your questions live over the air today. This is a live broadcast, so go ahead and call in your questions right now, 308-956. We are back live now. We've noticed the activity of those of you that are enrolling in the Bible Correspondence Course. We are thankful for your interest, and again, we will be glad to send this to you in tomorrow's mail. So go ahead and continue calling in to request the course. We will get it in the mail to you tomorrow. You very well may discover things in God's Word that you've never heard before. Isn't it important to find out those things before we meet God face to face? Yes, we will meet Him. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will profess that His judgment is right. So let's make certain that His judgment is going to be right concerning us so that we can go to heaven instead of being sent away. So go ahead and call the 553-5157. May those calls keep on coming in, and we'll get that in the mail to you tomorrow. Now, if you have a question you want to have answered on today's broadcast, now's your chance. The lines are available, 308-9564, or you can text us if you have a cell phone at 725-9283. Chuck, do you have a question?
I do. We have Steve calling in this question. Steve, we appreciate you listening to the program, and we appreciate you calling in your questions. Steve's question is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. I believe Ricky made mention of this a little bit earlier. And this question is on the phrase, the like figure. And he says here, the light that he thinks light figure means sign, and it's does not mean that we're saved by baptism. So the question here is, does this phrase like figure, does that mean being saved by baptism? So are we saved by baptism? In 1 Peter 3:20, so let's just read it. And we're going to read it from the original King James, because I want to be able to make sure I catch the correct context, and also so I can use the exact same phraseology that his question is on, this phrase like figure. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, it says, which in some times were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, which is a few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. That's what verse 20 says. The key phrase is the end of that verse, saved by water, or saved through water. That's the key phrase right there in verse 20. So if we take that phrase, saved by water, because that's what this passage is talking about. So we reread verse 20, and we'll see that the only time the ark is mentioned, he says in the days of Noah while preparing the ark. So the only time the ark is mentioned about saving them, the ark was mentioned that Noah was preparing the ark. So it says Noah, while the ark was being prepared, which is a few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. So it seems like the meat of this verse, or it seems like the point of this verse is being saved by water. That's what this verse here is talking about, being saved by water. Now, with that in mind, this idea of being saved by water, now let's go to verse 20. Just read straight through the sentence. The like figure. The like figure. Like figure of what? Saved by water. Whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. So it's the physical water. The physical water. That's not what saves us, because we take baths, we go swimming. It's not the physical water. So no, it's not that. But it says, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's also key, that phrase, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we go over to Romans chapter 6 in verses 3 through 7, we see this idea about being in the resurrection of Christ. So Christ died physically, and he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. In verse 4 is in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that mentions this. It says, therefore, we were buried with him, buried with Christ, through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if you've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we die with Christ. We die with Christ in baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7 is showing that clearly. It's so clear. It's really clear. We die with Christ in baptism. But it's not just being baptized just for fun. When Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So you don't get baptized if you don't believe. You got to believe the gospel first. You have to have faith and believe in Christ and his gospel message first. And then a response to that, a good conscience towards God, is the obedient act of being submissive and being dying with Christ in a watery grave of baptism. We come in contact with Christ's blood. We become one with his death, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. So this idea about the like figure is not meaning that we're saved by baptism. Well, that's going in direct contradiction of what this passage actually says in 1 Peter 3. 20 and 21. Once again, to review, the end of verse 20 shows that eight souls were saved through water, or saved by the water. And that's where baptism is the like figure. The like figure are the same as that. The like figure meaning, the Greek meaning, a thing formed after something patterned, or resembling or another, its counterpart. So those meaning that it's the resemblance of it. It's that same thing, the like figure. Being saved by water. So how are we saved by water? Dying with Christ in the obedient act of baptism as a submissive answer to a good conscience towards God. So it seems like if we let the Bible speak, we let the verses just say what they say. You know, some people may believe that, oh, Noah and his family were saved by the ark. That's not what God says. God does not say they were saved by the ark. He says those eight souls were saved by water, and the like figure, baptism, saved us today. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, as well as anyone else who may be unclear on that or have that question. We appreciate your call. 308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station.
We have Katie calling in this question. What does the Bible say about capital punishment? Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, 6, right in there. In verse 4 in particular, it says that the government or the powers that be bear not the sword in vain. That is literally a bloody sword. And thus that is showing that the government or the powers of those governments over us have the ability and the responsibility to give that bloody sword of vengeance against evildoers their just punishment. That's Romans 13 and verse 4. Second question is dealing with a lottery and with scratch-offs and with gambling. And so is that a good way for us to have an income? Well, the Bible speaks of several ways that we can get increase. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that we're to work with our hands that which is good that we may have to give to those that are in need. The parable of the talent shows that Jesus would approve of putting our money in the bank for interest. That would parallel to investments if you own a business or part of a business. The Bible also condones inheritance, where the man was arguing over his brother not dividing the inheritance. Jesus rebuked him for saying that we need to be careful of covetousness. He warns him against that, but he doesn't condemn the idea of inheritance. And throughout the Old Testament, even the firstborn got a double portion of inheritance. And so that is commended from God. Then Matthew chapter 13 talks about the discovery of a treasure, of a pearl. And thus we can discover things if we happen to be a treasure hunter. Then also the Bible condones the idea of gifts, people giving gifts to one another, and this is often done and practiced in God's church. But one thing we do not see is where a group of people gather together to pool their money together so that there's one winner and everybody else are losers. Matter of fact, the same attitude to where that we win and they're losing is talked about, that we should not ever try to cause someone to lose, but rather we should have a heart willing to give, willing to lend, Luke brings out, expecting nothing in return. So the whole attitude behind that of the lottery, scratch-offs, gambling, to where that there's a winner and loser and we're going to win and everybody else loses, that's just not Christ-like at all. Look what Jesus gave up so that we might be winners. He became poor that we can be rich. And so that whole mentality would go in the face of our Lord. Katie, I hope that's been helpful to you. We're going to have to hurry with these questions because we are running short of time. You got one you can deal before the question?
Sure do. We have a question that says, why don't all the churches get together and protest all this gay stuff going around in the world? Well, why don't all churches get together and protest all the sin that's going on in the world? All sin is equal. We can't put homosexuality above or below any other sin. In God's eyes, all sins are equal. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, that shows a group of practices that people were taking part in that were sinful, that are condemned. And so we shouldn't agree with any of those and put one more or less over the other. And if we look at the book of Acts, if you study the book of Acts, it's specifically chapters 2 through 5. But if you study the entire book of Acts, you will see the work of the church is to save souls. That's the work of the church. The work of the church is to save souls.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that Jesus' purpose coming too?
To seek and save the lost.
Oh, okay. So we're supposed to be just like him.
Just Christ-like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with that, that's, once again, that's the book of Acts. Let's look at the book of Acts and we'll see the work of the church is to save souls. The call us here at the station, 308-9564. We got one more break left. We have one segment left. Go ahead and get your question in, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live now, and we want you to know that our questions are piling up. We will try our best to answer all these, but we'll be concise. We have this question coming in. Can an elder remain an elder if his daughter is pregnant out of wedlock? Well, when you look at the qualities that an elder is supposed to have, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, you'll see 20-something qualities, including the home. But the banner over both of those list of qualities is there to be blameless. Blameless. And so when you look and see when someone in their home is in that kind of situation, they're responsible and they are not blameless. And so how do you deal with that? Well, that's another creature entirely. But again, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 8, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, it doesn't look like that person would be blameless.
We have another question from Steve. It says, spirit baptism, not water baptism. John's baptism was by water. Jesus' baptism was by spirit. Well, that's an interesting teaching, and that's something I've heard before, but only problem with that is saying that we're not saved by water baptism as an answer of a good conscience towards God is, once again, the scriptures that we were just looking at, 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, it that's what it says. So we're going against something that God says, that's wrong. that's sin. But to make the point even clearer, consider Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, to where the eunuch was hearing the gospel. Specifically, listen to the phrase that's used. In Acts chapter 8, verse 35, this is after Philip comes to the eunuch and he hears him reading Isaiah 53, and the eunuch asks him, you know, who is this that he talks about? And Philip, verse 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So in verse 35, it says Philip preached Jesus to the eunuch. The very next scripture, verse 36, says, now as they were coming down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Now, where would this eunuch get a crazy idea like that? Hey, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? Obviously, water baptism was included in verse 35, where it says Philip opened his mouth, beginning at the scripture, and preached Jesus to him. Verse 37, Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, then you may. That goes right along with Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Goes right along with it. And then we go down, verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So, water baptism seems to be what that scripture is talking about. Thank you so much, Steve. We appreciate your question. 308-9564, 308-9564. Keep the questions coming.
We have Kim calling in this question. If you are single, can you marry one who has been married before? Well, Matthew chapter 19 talks about the idea of marriage and divorce and remarriage. And so you would look at Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 3, and go all the way through verse 12, and there it shows who can marry and who cannot marry. Now, if this person has been married and divorced before, you need to look and see if their first marriage was dissolved as Jesus said they were to be dissolved. And anything other than fornication, then that is not following what Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9 says. And so they may have to spend their life as a eunuch, he goes on to say, in the rest of those verses through verse 12. So that's the only reason why someone can be allowed to marry again. The only three people that can marry today are those who have never been married, those who have been married and divorced for the cause of fornication, are those who have been married and their spouse has died. Those are the only three that would be eligible to marry. Again, that's Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. You might also, if it's a death of a loved one, then Romans chapter 7, verse 3 and 4, deal with that. Another question, where does the Bible say women can preach? Again, let me iterate that this is not talking about preaching over men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9, 10, 11, 12, talk about that, how that they are not to teach or have authority over a man. That's 1 Timothy 2, verse 11 and 12. However, preaching or teaching God's word is to be done by all. I reference Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, where it talks about the church was being scattered throughout the world in verse 1. And then when you see in verse 4, it says, those that were scattered, well, notice verse 3, it says, and Saul made havoc of the church, entering into every house, dragging men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. It had just mentioned men and women, but it doesn't mean women were teaching over authority of men. And then also, as far as in a worship service, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 37, bring out that they're not to be speaking out at all during that worship service. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 through 37. Please remember, all we're doing is giving you what the Bible says. And if we have a complaint with what the Bible says, then take your complaint to God. He's the one that is going to settle all of this in the end. All we're here to do is to just direct you to what God's word says, and he's the one that we will give our answers to. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it. Chuck, you have another question?
Yes, we have V calling in about 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. That talks about the unmarried. Let's pick up verse 8. It says, but I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them to remain even as I am, being unmarried or single. And verse 9 says, but if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And the most translations add to burn with passion. The two words are italicized. In the original language, it just says to burn. And then most translations add to with passion. But if you leave that off and it just says it's better to marry than to burn, well, then it could mean to burn in hell for fornication, if that's what you were going to be doing. Or it could just mean to burn as in lust or lust after another, which once again it would lead us to hell if we continued in with that sin. So the main point that he is trying to make was in chapter 7, this entire context is showing that it's better to be unmarried and be so focused on serving the Lord to where nothing distracts you. And we can tell that by the end of this by the end of the chapter, starting in verse 32, where he talked about he who was unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. So the overwhelming point he's trying to make is it's better actually to be unmarried if you're going to be so focused on doing the Lord's work. However, he puts this provision in that if you can't exercise enough self-control, or it's better to marry than to be lusting so that you, over the physical or fleshly desires. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Steve calling in this question. Who built the first altar? No one has ever asked that question before. Very, very good. Steve, the answer to that is recorded in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. Genesis 8 and verse 20, the answer to that question is Noah. Noah built the first altar. And so who was it that made the rocks the altar was made by? Well, God made those rocks, of course. He did that back in Genesis chapter 1. But those rocks were the ones that Noah put together to make the first altar and the first sacrifice as far as the altar is concerned. Now we see in Genesis chapter 4, the Cain and Abel brought an offering to God, but it does not mention the word altar there. And Abel's offering was acceptable to God, where Cain's offering was not, in that he did not give the best of the best. Have we caught up on the questions? Okay, great, fantastic. We were sweating there whether we were going to be able to deal with that. Please know that the information that we're giving you today is not from man. We're giving you book, chapter, and verse. And the reason for that is because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And thus we've got to make certain that we go to God for all the answers. When all is said and done, and more is said than done, certainly, but when all is said and done, it will be God that will sort it all out. Isn't that a relief? There will not be any man of this life and this planet that's going to make the judgment call. Not the preacher preaching the funeral. Not any other man on the face of the earth right now is going to sort it all out. God, Christ himself, is going to be the judge. And he will be judging us on what he has said that we should be following. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He also said, why call me Lord and do not the things that I say? So if he's going to be Lord, if he's Lord, and he's going to be the judge, don't you think it would be prudent for us to find out what he thinks, what he feels, what he would have us to do? So that when we stand before him in judgment one day, he might be able to say to us, if we have held faithful to it, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord prepared for you from the foundation. Don't we want that? The only way that we can be assured of that is for us to go to his word and see what he says. Go ahead and enroll in this Bible correspondence course before we change it back to the dollar Bible study. Go ahead and enroll right now, 553-5157. Learn what God wants you to know before checking out of this life. We want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week for another session of Let the Bible Speak.